Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Baseball is back in the city by the bay. What better way to celebrate your favorite MLB team than by visiting Baseballism, the official lifestyle apparel brand of baseball. Baseballism specializes in apparel for men, women, and children, and now offers officially licensed MLB team apparel. Visit Baseballism San Francisco on the corner of King and 3rd, or by shopping online at baseballism.com. Baseballism is America's brand.
I am so tired of the Astros cheating still being a focal point of every national broadcast, but tonight took it to a completely new level. Jose Altuve, thank God it was a short inning, in the top of the third, was mic'd up on the national broadcast, and he was fine, whatever. He's a scumbag just like the rest of them. And Astro fans, get out of my mention saying that it was proved that Jose Altuve was not one of the cheaters. Jose Altuve hit that home run and told his teammates to not take his jersey off because he had a freaking wire and a buzzer underneath it.
Well, yeah, tattoo, a new tattoo.
Yeah, bad tattoo that his wife hated, sure.
Yeah.
When that inning was over, when the Astros came up to bat in the bottom of the third, Carl Ravitch went on this monologue asking fans to leave Jose Altuve alone. And there was a time in New York when the Astros were in town, and the Yankees fans were so mean to him, and they were saying all these mean things about him being a cheater. And Carl Ravitch, starting the campaign for Jose Altuve as baseball's nicest man. I am so tired of this bullshit where the national pundits are protecting the Astros. For what? Like, for what?
Yeah,
I'm tired of it.
I think they're just trying to protect their game. You know, I mean, baseball's already dying. You know, there's really no justifying everybody involved in the Astros scandal, because especially the way that they tried to oust themselves as not, like, just they were involved. You know, they were involved. So however you as an individual can understand and like how cheating makes you feel, how the integrity of the game makes you feel is really.
How does cheating make you feel, Mike? I want some emotion from you on how cheating makes you feel.
Well, I think going above and beyond, like the whole trying to get a competitive advantage thing, I totally respect. Like if you're on second base trying to steal signs and you pick them up and you relay them to the batter, that's awesome.
Yes.
Or if you're like mixing sunscreen with rosin and you get a little bit more sticky on your fingers to get some spin, whatever.
Fine.
But having somebody in center field with a camera dedicated, zoomed into the catcher's signs, that is absolutely disgracing the integrity of the game. So like on that sense, sure. But from ESPN's sense, it's like, hey, man, we need you to watch our baseball games. Like, we like the Astros, you know, they're really good. So pay attention to them again. Let's forget about all the nonsense.
That brings me to the other incredibly frustrating moment of tonight's bullshit broadcast. When Maticevich hit his first major league home run and that dumbass kid with the mullet, Ryland, Riley, Kaylee, Tucker.
You know his name. That's the thing. They said his name. They gave him a full 5 minutes and the mic cut out. Like,
what was it? Ryland,
I don't care.
Something?
It doesn't matter.
Whatever it is, it's some millennial bullshit name. Like, oh my God, you spoiled, selfish little fuck.
Wow.
That's that kid's major league, his first major league home run. And this guy is negotiating with a part-time clubhouse hand, seeing what he can get for that baseball. Give the baseball back and take what you get and don't ask for more.
Well, Shane, yeah, first career Major League Baseball home run, right? Okay. Yeah. But also, first time a guy caught somebody else's first Major League home run. So, like, how often does that happen in your life? The guy who caught the ball. So, like, let's take advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the fan.
No. No. See, so, this is like the same thing as the Tom Brady football where that guy negotiated right. like crazy and got a Bitcoin out of it. That's you know what that football means to Tom Brady? You know what that baseball means to Manajevich?
Just but you know what back. Signed jerseys and autographed memorabilia means to those who, you know, I mean,
it means that kid's never having sex. That's what it means. He's just, he's never going to have sex.
He's going to have an autographed jersey from a major baseball player.
Oh, God. So, okay. So where's he going to put Justin Verlander's signed jersey? Like, that up and just, what do you get? You just get to look at it.
He has a driver, man. He can sell it if he wants. You know what I mean?
This isn't like you put on Justin Verlander's signed jersey and you assume the powers of Justin Verlander. It's a freaking jersey, man.
Well,
share the memory with the guy who just hit his first major league homer. You're there with your father. You're there with your younger brother.
Okay.
You just caught this ball. How cool is that? And now it's even more special that I get to give the ball back to the guy who hit the homer.
However, when are you ever going to have the amount of leverage you do again? Right. Because the kid obviously he wants his home run ball and you don't have to give it back.
You know? I understand. What I'm saying is assuming leverage is wrong in this situation.
Okay.
This is not a situation where you should capitalize on leverage. This is a situation where you should make the guy happy that just hit his first major league homer and then take whatever they offer you. Yeah. They come to you and say, hey, what do you want from the ball? And you say, if this is me, whatever you planned on giving me, give it to me. I just want to make sure he gets his ball back. That's how I would handle it.
He got an interview on it, out of it on a national television. So that's a win for everybody, really. It's a win for us all.
I want to beat him up. Okay, so I think it's considered a win to get out of the series not being swept and to at least put together a couple of decently competitive games. Now you've got three against the Toronto Blue Jays, the second best team in the East, in my opinion, regardless of what the standings say. But then after that, you get into July, and you got a few against the Angels, but you get into July, you've got 19 straight against divisional opponents. And that's where the season is either won or lost. And those 19 games back to back to back to back to back to back against the Tigers, Royals, Twins, Guardians, that's where it is. But you still have to get out of this stretch against the Blue Jays with at least one. And then you get to lick your wounds against the Orioles this weekend, and then you have the Angels. What do you expect from a Lance Lynn to Dylan Cease to Lucas Giolito three-game stretch against the Toronto Blue Jays?
Boy, that's a great question. And I'm thinking ahead, too, with all those division games, that this could be the telling point of the season. Obviously, it leads into the deadline and all those things. But the White Sox, to me, aren't a World Series contender. I'm watching this White Sox team as if they're a middle-of-the-road, very mediocre ball club trying to compete against teams they should beat and then ultimately losing. Like, this has happened all season long. When you talk about, like, the strengths of the White Sox, it should be their lineup. But they get beat so often by good pitching. So, you know, if the Blue Jays can pitch it, the White Sox can't hang because that offense cannot keep up with the Blue Jays. And you're looking at Baltimore. Look, Baltimore's been the laughingstock of the league for several years, and you know, this even goes back to the past, the way the organization develops and runs their franchise. Right now, their lineup is pretty damn good. Like, they have several prospects and names who are not household, but you'll start to recognize them more and more as you pay attention to Major League Baseball, period. But looking ahead, I mean, you got to look, Cleveland's not a pushover, period, especially the way they pitch. And the White Sox can't hit good pitching, like I said. I want to reiterate that. They can't hit good pitching. So this is going to be a tough stretch. In the immediate sense, I want to see progress from Lance Lynn. I got to see, you know, it's a start-by-start evaluation of Lance Lynn and where he's at in his career at this point with the White Sox this season, because you miss all that time. Just get me to a point in August where you're back. Everything else in the meantime, just be competitive for me. Stay healthy. Get me through five. Spell the bullpen. Give us a chance to win. But by August, make sure that you're at your best, because they're going to need him big time.
What do you expect they add at the deadline or get rid of or sell?
I want them to get Tyler Mahle of the Cincinnati Reds. I think he's a great fit. You get a 27-year-old right-hander. You look at his numbers, they're not eye-popping, but he's got a year and a half of control left. Exactly what the White Sox are looking for in terms of cost controllable arm for what they're able to give up. And it's not easy to say goodbye to some of these top prospects because that is the future. Like, you don't want to compromise the White Sox competitive window now by sitting tight with your prospects, but you also don't want to jeopardize your future. So I'll be interested to see what the White Sox decide to do. It'll be interesting.
When the team is fully healthy, and I mean a Yoan Moncada fully back, Tim Anderson fully back, Eloy Jimenez fully back, who gets the majority of innings at third base, left field, right field, and DH?
Well, you got to play Moncada. You got to play him as much as you can, whether or not he struggles. Like, that's just where the White Sox are. He's a core piece.
Do you slide Berger over to second base then?
Well, that's the thing, is like with Jake Berger, you find him in the lineup as a DH, or you have him start at third and give Moncada spells. That's the only way. And it also depends on the way Jake Berger's been hitting. Obviously, Berger's been a light in the dark tunnel this year for the White Sox offense, but, you know, how sustainable is that? And his defense, I don't trust him at second. Shane, I don't want Jake Berger at second base. Give me Danny Mendick there, or give me Yolbert Sanchez there. But don't think too hard about this. Don't make your lineup full of lefties who can't hit. Just put Jake Berger in the lineup against the righty. It's fine. You can do that. With Eloy, you start him in left because, I mean, if you DH him, you DH him.
Lefty, you mean on Berger. You mean lefty on Berger.
No, it doesn't matter. Like, if it's a righty or a lefty in the line, on the mound, start Berger in the lineup, whether it's righty or lefty, because you know, he can hit and others can't. But Eloy's got to play every day. Andrew Vaughn has to play every day. But White Sox will figure it out.
Okay. How's your cornhole league looking?
I'll tell you what, we had four wins last week, which Yeah, I'll tell you that. I was involved in three of them. No, yeah, whatever. Ooh. But I'm just saying. And our record has improved to, let me do the math here, 22-99. And we are 7 weeks in.
The most flabbergasting thing about that league is not how bad you guys are. It's the fact that it's 27 weeks long. That was the most heartbreaking radio segment I've ever listened to when you broke down for Campy and Dan Bernstein how bad your cornhole team is.
Well, I appreciate the sympathy, but we're getting better every week, and only way to go is up because there is literally nobody behind us in the standings.
Sure, match by match. Mike Rankin, Future Sox, and at Rankin906 on Twitter. Thank you very much for filling in for Gabe Ramirez. Gabe will be back on Thursday, where we will break down the White Sox likely getting swept by the Blue Jays and approaching a weekend series against the Baltimore Orioles. If you like what you heard, remember to subscribe to the Southsider 670 podcast feed. Mike Rankin, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Shane. Good stuff.
Talk to you guys on Thursday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.